Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up just after 5, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. This segment brought to you by our friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Going back to the hotline, chance to visit with Tim Corbin, our weekly visit with Tim, head coach of Vanderbilt Baseball. Tim, hope you had a wonderful weekend, and as always, welcome back.
Thanks, Johnny. Good to talk to you.
You know, it's interesting, because one of the things I was going to bring up with you today, because in our visits, you know, we've been looking back a little bit at with some of the successes that you've and your teams have been able to enjoy in recent years as far as Vanderbilt baseball is concerned. And just so happens that Andrew Pate sent out this release earlier today. 13 years ago, May 27th, 2007, the Vanderbilt baseball program won the SEC tournament. It had been 27 years since the Commodores had won that event. Was that the turning point from your standpoint where, you know, what we dreamed, what could happen to what is now possible for Vanderbilt baseball?
It was another step. I think that there's a lot of experiences that could be termed turning points. I mean, Worth Scott's home run our first year in 2003, that where we beat Tennessee on the very last day. We had to sweep them in order to go to the SEC tournament. Vanderbilt hadn't been to the SEC tournament in 15 years. That was one. Then the next year, 2004, we were two games away from going to Omaha. We went to a regional, won Virginia's regional, then lost to Texas. I thought that was another. But I think, you know, from a standpoint of hosting and realizing that this could be something that we could do, that game or that series of events of winning the regular season, winning the tournament, and then hosting the regional for the first time ever, I think those were, I thought those were events right there that we had surpassed things that we had never done before.
You know, we always talk about your teams, especially in recent years, where it's, you know, one game at a time, week at a time, dividing the schedule up that way. But before, you know, what we have talked about in recent years, before that, I mean, you had that team in 2007 that began 20-0, and we're talking about a team that, you know, facing hurdles for the first time, all of a sudden everybody taking you seriously. You spent most of the year as the number one team in the country. That was probably a great opportunity as far as learning ground to be able to, you know, help keep everybody grounded that had a carryover effect over the last 13 years.
Yeah, I think so. I learned a lot personally from that year. John Winken, the former coach at Maine, longtime coach at Maine, who I respected so much. I really wanted to play for. He took his team to many College World Series. He has since passed away, but he was the NCAA rep that was running our regional that year. And we had lost that tough game to Michigan, the final one, where by a run. And the next morning, you know, we were still just devastated. The team was devastated. I was devastated. Maggie was devastated. And we went out to breakfast with Coach Winken. And I asked Coach, I said, all right, Coach, you're 80-something years old now. I said, give me your impressions on what you saw. And he said, and he didn't hold anything back. He goes, I knew you were going to lose. And I said, you knew we were going to lose the regional? He goes, yeah, I knew you were going to lose the regional. I knew you weren't going to win this regional, not this year. And I said, what gave you that impression? He said, you guys were too tight on Thursday night when you practiced. And it was like an older coach's observations, but he had the strength to tell me that. He just, you know, he came right out and told me that. And what he said is, you're going to win it. You're going to win it when you don't expect it. He said, but you got to bang on the door a couple times first before you go through it. And he goes, this is one of those experiences. He said, you'll learn how to handle these situations as you go further. And he was right. He was 100% right. You know, it was like I could feel the tension I probably didn't give off the great vibes that you know a coach needs to in order to have a team that's confident and competitive. And we almost won that regional, but you know we were talented enough to win it, and we were talented enough to go to Omaha, but we just didn't. But I learned a lot from that situation.
You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation a couple years back with Gus Malzahn, the head football coach with Auburn, and we were talking about not just scouting other teams, but constantly doing self-evaluation to make sure you're doing all the right things. Was it tough for you to hear those words? And, you know, obviously you put them to wonderful use, but at the time when you heard that, did it stun you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that hurts. I mean, it hurts your feelings. I mean, anyone, I think, is human. You don't want to be told those things because you're trying to protect your ego. And it did. I remember it hurt me. I think it hurt Maggie, too. But, you know, Maggie, I mean, I would throw her right in there with Coach Winken in terms of the people in your life, Johnny, that have the ability to say the things that you don't want to hear, but say the things that you need to hear in order to help you. I mean, you're doing that as a teacher and as a coach, so who's doing that for you? Because really, as a teacher and coach, you need to hear that as much as the players, because you're helping the players. So if you're not getting better personally yourself, then how is your organization getting better? And I think that's the part that, you know, I've been able to, through the years, been able to listen to more. But, you know, there's certain people you listen to, too, now. I mean, you got to have trust in the people who are telling you that, and certainly your wife is. And Coach Winken and I always loved, and I could hear that from Don Meyer, and I could hear it from other people that I really admire, and they're the ones that sometimes tell you the things that you need to hear so you can grow personally.
You know, personally, our relationship, I feel we're very close. I can reach out to you anytime. But as you get, you go along, I don't care what sport you're talking about, but in your situation, do you keep walls up, or do walls grow up a little bit as you continue in your career? I mean, I don't notice it, but do you find yourself doing that just from that standpoint, protecting yourself and your family?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you have to some degree, because when you're in the coaching profession, first of all, I think there's a certain amount of energy that you have throughout the day, and if you exhaust it with your team and you exhaust it in your situation, then you have it for your wife. So I think number one, you got to understand how to place your energy and where it goes. And I think the other thing is, and because of that, you know, there's only so many times where we go out to dinner every night. Not now, but we do, but we're usually by ourselves. And the reason we're by ourselves is because it's almost like you're trying to decompress. You know, you're trying to decompress from the day. So, you know, from a social standpoint, we're not out a whole lot. And if we're out, we're out with one another or the coaches. But I think to your point is, I think not that you put a fence around yourself, but I think you're just smarter about people that you talk with. I think you have a lot of acquaintances. But I think when you get into the coaching field, and especially when you're sitting in this seat, you know, there's only certain people that are exposed to what you're going through and understand what you're going through, as is the case with a lot of professionals, you know. But I think when you're in this chair, you only talk to certain people about the things that you can learn from. But at the same time, I think you also have the ability to help a lot of people, and I enjoy that part, whether it's adults or whether it's kids for that matter. So I do like the relationship piece of it, but, you know, I think you have to be savvy to it as well.
Tim Corbin, head coach of Vanderbilt Baseball, joining us. You know, earlier you talked about, you know, that particular team being a little tight, and, you know, to me the difference between good and great is that balance between being up but not too up, avoiding being flat, and certainly avoiding being too tight. Is it the same type of approach if you notice a player or a team being tight, comparing that to a team that's flat? Is it the same kind of approach to get them at the place that they need to be at mentally and physically to be productive?
Yeah, I think the difference between them is tight is there's pressures put upon them where they're coming from. It either could be, you know, the coach, it could be the situation. And then as you start to see that and as you start to feel it, then you can break those down. A team that's flat, I think you just got to ask yourself, why are they flat? And I think the thing that I've learned a lot, too, you didn't ask me this. Well, yeah you kind of did. But I think I've, through other coaches and through our assistants and through my experiences, I've learned more how to take the pedal off, you know, to try to relieve the kids from spending too much time down at the field when they don't have to, when we don't need to, when that, you know, that can make them flat. And I think I feel like I've done a decent job towards the end of the year when they're going through exams and knowing to pull them back. But I think the areas that we've grown the most inside this program is if we've got a Tuesday game, we've got a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday game, we navigate Wednesday and Thursday really well. And I think if you do those things right there, you can keep your team from being flat on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I think flat just means they've exhausted their mental energy. And if they've exhausted their mental energy, Johnny, then you got to ask yourself, where did that come from? Where did they exhaust their mental energy because of exams? Did they exhaust their mental energy because you're doing the same thing over and over and over again in training? Did they exhaust their mental energy because you had them out here an hour longer than they needed to be? I think those are the questions you have to ask yourself. And then I think simply this, you got to put yourself in their shoes. Because I think the more you put yourself in your kid's shoes as an adult, then you start thinking like them, which at times is helpful to them. And I think those points right there, it's well raised, and I've learned more about that as time's gone on.
Tim, always a pleasure. Always love catching up with you. And once again, all my best to you, Maggie, and the family, and certainly always enjoy our visits each week.
Likewise, Johnny. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.